Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message from our visiting guest ministry will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
So it's been a while since I've done this, so lots of grace and kindness and would be appreciated. Do you know what's my favorite color? I love pink. Anyway, today is Mother's Day, and it's a day that we honor our mothers here in Australia, but around the world, all sorts of countries. And I don't know about you, but have you ever actually looked where Mother's Day originated? What's the history of it? I've never done it, so I decided, why not? So here is some interesting facts. Did you know that Mother's Day is not celebrated on the same day around the world, but as early as February to as late as October in the year, and they all have very different reasons for why they do that. Did you know that the 16th century church celebrated the fourth Sunday of Lent as Mothering Sunday? That's today. That's when people who moved away from the church where they grew up in go back to the mother church and they go and visit the church and their mothers. And all along the way, as they walk to the church, the kids would pick flowers and hand their mothers a bouquet when they get to the church. That's much cheaper than what we are paying for our flowers, isn't it? Did you know that Mother's Day in Australia wasn't celebrated till 1924 after the First World War? A lady called Janet Hayden from Sydney started the tradition after becoming concerned for the lonely, forgotten aged woman at the Newington State Hospital where she used to visit a friend regularly. There were so many mothers who were no longer mothers, women that were wives who were now widowed, and women who never had the prospect of becoming a wife and a mother because a whole generation was wiped out in the trenches. So Janet, what she did, she successfully campaigned to local schools and the government and businesses to donate gifts for these ladies, and they gifted that to them. There's some interesting information for you. But as a church, we love to celebrate and acknowledge on Mother's Day, not just mothers, but women. Physical mothers and mother figures, foster mums, aunts, mum's friends. Who knows mum's friends is like a mum to you? Sisters, godmothers, spiritual mothers. So we celebrate today, we celebrate all these women in our lives. I want to share a thought today that is applicable for all women, young and old. To be honest, I think it's applicable for men, young and old too. So do you want to tune back in now? It's not just going to be for the women. Okay, I've got your attention. Beautiful. So what I want to do is I want to unpack the thought of being women of legacy. And I want to look at the example that Jesus sets for us. And then how can we apply that to our everyday lives? Are you ready? Let's go. So according to the dictionary, a legacy is a valuable inheritance that can be passed down from generation to generation that is part of your history. We've got one of those items in our family. We have a Bible. It's about 400 years old. We don't open it anymore because it's so fragile. It's huge. It's like this big thing, written in High Dutch. It's been in JJ's family for all those years, and it goes to the oldest, the firstborn son named Jacob Johannes. So for us, we have it, and it will be Jay's. He's the 13th generation Jacob Johannes Mayer. It's quite special, hey? But legacy is also about the richness of an individual's lives, including what that person has accomplished and the impact that they had on people's lives. A legacy may even be of your faith, your ethics, your character, and your core values. So you might ask, why does it matter if I leave a legacy after I die? Well, I think that it matters because leaving a legacy means that you will continue to make a contribution in the future years, even when you're no longer around. And it matters because you are helping a generation implement the beautiful life lessons that you have learned. So seeing that it's Mother's Day, will you bear with me if I tell you about my beautiful mother's legacy that she has left? We've got a photo of her. This is my mum, Anna Johanna Margareta, and we called her Ansi. Her surname was Smith, and then later she was a Pfeiffer. And she left a legacy of doing good deeds, working hard, successfully overcoming and rising above adversity time and time again, and teaching us the importance and the necessity of constantly relying on God from an early age. This will be my third Mother's Day without saying, I love you, Mum. And so I thought, I'll just do it here today. So I learned from her that my faith is not an option, but it's a critical part of my life and my history, my heritage. I said my first words in the church. And when we went to church twice on a Sunday, and you had to sleep in the afternoon so that you can stay awake in the evening. Yeah, we hated those Sunday naps, and now we love those Sunday naps. But we always had to dress in our best clothes. We had Sunday best in our cupboard, and we always had to wash our hair and looked our best when we go to church. You had to dress your clothes, iron your clothes, no creases, was not allowed. But you know, till this day, I love doing that. She also, I learned from her to have faith and belief that God will provide. There were many times after my father died that there was just not enough for the electricity or food. But you know, she never gave in. She had a faith that knew and said, God will provide, and he always did. I learned from her that things that happen to you, which is out of your control, does not define you. That you have a choice to give in and lay down, or get up and dust yourself off and go again. You can cry and have a moment of frustration and despair, but when you're finished, you get up, you wash your face, and as Helen Keller says, you look the world straight in the eye. And you go again. I learned from her to ask for help, but also to roll up my sleeve and make things happen. That sometimes you have to do things afraid, but do it anyway. That the glasses are full and not half empty. I learned from her what it means to be loyal, and that quitting was the last option, not the first. That the joy of serving and helping others in their need is very special. She was the self-appointed, free Uber driver in her church to all the old people, but she was the same age as them. I would ask, Mum, what are you doing today? She goes, oh, I took so-and-so to the doctor, and I took so-and-so there, and I took so-and-so there, and yeah, I love her. Mooksie was a survivor, and she very seldom saw herself as a victim, but rather an overcomer. Mooksie is a woman of legacy. She's dearly missed in our lives and in this world, and I believe in the people's lives that she touched. Mooksie did one thing. She always pointed us towards Jesus. And you know, today I find that that is one of my most important roles as a wife, as a mother, as a friend, and a pastor, is to always point people to look at Jesus and to look at him for their need. So when we look at what it means to be woman and legacy, I think there's no better example than to look at Jesus and the example of legacy that he left us. Let's turn to the word. I'm going to read 1 Peter 2 verse 21 to 24. And JJ made these amazing slides for me. Thank you. So you can read along on the screen. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. And the example that he left is this. He committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. So Jesus left us a life-giving legacy that is still spoken about today and taught today more than 2,000 years later. His teachings of love, hope, compassion, forgiveness, and selflessness has formed the foundation of Christianity, our beliefs. So in this scripture we read that there was no deceit found in his mouth. He did not retaliate. He did not make threats. And as you read your New Testament, you will see that Jesus lived out of what he taught. He did exactly that. And he encouraged us to do the same as we grow and become more and more like him. His teachings and life have even shaped ethical and moral frameworks that have influenced laws, social reforms, and personal conduct. This is legacy. A legacy that brings love, hope, compassion, forgiveness, selflessness, salvation, and eternal life. So looking at Jesus' life as our example, I want to highlight a few things as we continue to grow and become women of legacy. The first one is this: love like Jesus did. Jesus left us a legacy of love. He loved us so much that he was prepared to lay everything down in heaven and come down to earth as a mere man. Jesus was the sacrificial lamb who was slain for our sins so that we can stand before God, righteous, holy and blameless, be in relationship with him, sit at his feet and have an eternity with him in heaven. What a sacrifice. Through his sacrifice, he showed us what it means to love unconditionally. Mark 12, verse 28 to 30, there's a Sadducee and he speaks to Jesus and he says to him, "Tell me which one is the most important commandment in the Bible?" And Jesus says to him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." The greatest commandment is love. Love God and love people. Jesus loved God and he loved people with an unconditional love that extends to everyone. No one was excluded. And he demonstrated this love for us. But he also showed us that God is a God of love. We've got the beautiful scripture, John 3:16, that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whomever believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." In the book of John, the apostle John portrayed himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I think we sometimes make jokes about it and think he thought a lot about himself. But you know what? I actually want to say we need to take that on us and say we are the woman that Jesus loved. Paulina, the woman that Jesus loved. Louise, the woman that Jesus loved. Nancy, the woman that Jesus loved. Doreen, the woman that Jesus loved. Down here, the woman, everyone, the woman that Jesus loved. Roma, the woman that Jesus loved. That is who we are. It's part of our identity. And I want to say it's the true definition of our identity. We are loved by Jesus. So we need to stop defining ourselves by our failures and start seeing ourselves as the one, the woman who Jesus loves. It's then that our hearts will begin to open to the breathtaking discovery of the wonder of Jesus Christ. So as women of legacy, let's love like Jesus loves. But this also includes those times when it's not as easy to love. It's easy to love when, you know, people say good things about you, when they give you a spot to go in front of them or whatever they do. It's so easy to love. But there are times that we have to love when it's not easy. Like our enemies, those people that we cannot win over no matter what we say. Those that don't dress like us, those that don't smell like us. You know, years ago, JJ and I was pastoring a church. It's many years ago. And there were a handful of people in this church that did not really like us. They did not love us. And to be honest, we knew that when we turn our back, they were saying really bad things about us. And all they wanted to do was, what can we do to get them out of here? And we knew that. But every Sunday when we rocked up at church, we hugged them. We loved them like we did every other one in that church. And I wish that I could say that it had a happy ending. It didn't. But you know what? All that mattered for us was that we continued to love them. And another example I wanted to highlight was that over the last just a bit over eight years, I worked in a Christian school on the Gold Coast. And very early on in my time there, I made a conscious decision to love on those staff that are seemingly invisible to everyone else. And it's because of what I saw around me. And these, there were three groups of people in particular: the cleaners, the bus drivers, and the delivery drivers. Now, it was easy for me to do that because I was in the main office and I was working the count, so I used to receive all the parcels. But you know what? I made a point of greeting them, knowing most of their names, and stopping and take a moment just to say hi, how are you doing, when the opportunity came. And it's amazing what you learn when you just stand still and speak to someone for a moment. Our stationery supplier's delivery driver's name was Greg. He was a chirpy and a bubbly, really short person. That doesn't, I don't know why I'm saying that, but anyway. But you know what? I loved Greg. And I used to call him Glenn. There you go. G, it started with a G. But you know what? He was actually a bank manager. But stress became so much for him that it affected his health so severely that he retired early and decided to become a delivery driver. Why? Because he just loved interacting with people. He was my favorite delivery driver. Then there was Mary. She was one of our cleaners. Some worked at nighttime, but she had the day shift. And if any spills happen, you know what spills happen at school, you just call Mary. And she was there in a jiffy on her little golf buggy. But she was a gem who was always willing to help. You know, a woman who actually had a really difficult life. But she had a smile whenever you ask her how she's doing. I just said hello, made sure that I greeted her, take a moment, give her a hug whenever we could. And as a purchasing department, we made a decision to make sure that she always had a box of her favorite tea in the lunchroom, Twinings Assam Bowl Tea. And every time she discovered there's a new box, she would come down to purchasing and give us a big hug. But we loved that we could love on her and something so simple like that. We had great conversations and we became good friends over the years. And then there were the bus drivers. There was Alan. Woohoo! Yes. Well, I couldn't just love on him. I had to love on the others too. Anyway, for those who don't know, for a period in time, JJ did drive buses at the school where I worked. There you go. But I must say that was in the later years. I had it down packed by that time. So there was Alan. Alan is actually a pastoring a church with his son, and he absolutely loves fishing. There's Ian, who's got a long beard, and he actually plays Santa at Christmas time in the shopping center with his real beard. He doesn't need a fake one. And it comes down to here. I am not joking. But he is such an interesting man, have a smile on his face, and he rides his push bike to school every day, every morning and every afternoon to take the kids home. And then there was Clayton. He is a man of very few words, and you sometimes wonder, he never says anything, he just does his work. But he's got such a great work ethic, and you know what, he was, after a few years, he was actually promoted to become one of the coordinators in the bus department. All I did was try to love like Jesus did, no matter who the person was. And I hope that the legacy that I left when I left reflects just that. I really hope they miss my hugs and my good morning, how are you? Because I certainly do miss them all. Women of legacy. A woman of legacy prays like Jesus prays. As mums, we pray for our children constantly. But Jesus left us a legacy of prayer. He showed us how important prayer is by modeling it to us. In Luke 5:16, we see that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He was never too busy or too tired to pray. Before he went to minister and after he went to minister. Before he healed people and after he healed people. After a long day of ministering and talking and teaching and doing miracles, he would withdraw from the crowd and turn to the Father and pray. In John 17, we find Jesus with his disciples after the Last Supper. He knew what was coming next. That whole chapter is a prayer that he prayed before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was going to be betrayed. And in that prayer, he prayed for the protection of his disciples and the believers, acknowledging that he has completed the work that he was sent to earth to do, and asking the Father to restore him back to his former glory. It is a beautiful chapter. If you have not read it, it really touched my heart when I read it. There's 25 prayers of Jesus noted in the Gospels. You know, we know the prayer where he taught the disciples, the Lord's Prayer, which we find in Luke 11 and Matthew 6, verse 9 to 13. He taught us how to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That whole scripture. You know, Jesus modeled it to us. And he modeled to us where his strength comes from. Always making time to spend with God in his presence. No matter what his schedule looked like, no matter how tired he was. One of my favorite scriptures is this one. And I'd like to read it for you out of my beautiful pink Passion translation. It's 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18. It says, "Let joy be your continual feast. Make your life a prayer. And in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus." I love it. Make your life a prayer. As women of legacy, let's continue to place a high value on prayer. Let's make our lives a prayer. Let's be known as women who turn to God in the moments of need. Let's become more and more like Jesus and be aware of where our help comes from and where our strength comes from. The third point I want to make is that as women of legacy, we testify of his goodness. Let's testify of his goodness constantly. Jesus left a legacy of testimonies. You know, in John 5, verse 19, 14, verse 5 to 7, and 17, verse 6, we read that Jesus came to reveal the Father to us. That was his role. That's what, or one of the roles. That's what he did. He said and he did nothing unless the Father told him to do so. By revealing the Father to us, Jesus testified of God's goodness, his character, and his nature. He continually made a point of the fact that he and the Father are one, so that we will view God in the way that we view Jesus. The Bible also instructs us on what we need to do. We need to tell the generations to come about the testimonies of Jesus. Psalm 78 verse 4 says, "We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done." If we don't tell the next generation what God has done, what we've experienced, the miracles, his goodness in our lives, you know that their heritage of faith will die with us. So let's be a woman that never misses an opportunity to tell others, children, people at work, our friends, anyone we come in contact with, about God's goodness, what he has done for us in our lives, in our families' lives, in our marriages, in our finances. We need to constantly be reminded and remind others of his mighty works. This creates an expectation to those who hear it that he is a faithful and a loving God and that miracles can happen today and every day. This is what it means to point people to Jesus. Fourthly, women of legacy are women who value the word of God because the Word of God gives them direction. Part of Jesus' legacy is the Word, the written Scripture. 2,000 years later, it's still being taught, published, sung, spoken of, newly translated. The Passion Translation is not even finished yet. Constantly, people speak about the Bible. Think of how many times we refer to our Bible and we read it. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." That's what it's for, so that we can be equipped. The Bible is our manual for living a godly life. It is truth, it equips, it corrects us, and it directs us to do good deeds every day. It's where we should turn when we are looking for direction, wisdom, and answers. In Hebrews 4:12, tells us that God's word is alive and powerful. It's not just words on a scripture, it's life. It brings transformation to our lives, which leads us to live out our God-given purposes. It should guide our actions, our thoughts, and our emotions. You know, as women of legacy, let's be lovers of His word. Let's turn to the Bible for inspiration and guidance rather than to the search engines on our phones. Over the last 4 years, I've had the privilege of being part of a group of women in the Gold Coast called Links to Legacy. It started as a group of friends, all South Africans from Indian heritage, that came together doing life in Australia. Doesn't matter if they knew each other in South Africa before or not. You have a way to congregate people that are like-minded and like you. And that they wanted to do is they wanted to leave a legacy for their children. Ramola Mudli, it started in her heart. And her heart was to bring hope to the homeless and domestic violence victims. And she did it by taking hands with established organizations, by supporting them with manpower, time to go and help when they were doing once a week when they were feeding people, and to give money to help them to do that. Christmas time, we make huge hampers and we hand those out to the women. But what started with a meal together in a house has now developed into a yearly retreat where women all over Queensland come together from all denominations and all generations. I think the youngest one was 11 years old last year. And what we do is we worship God together and we encourage each other in our journey and about God's goodness in our lives. Her ultimate dream is to have a home where middle-aged women caught in domestic violence can have a safe place where they can make a fresh start and find their feet and integrate back into society, filled with hope and dreams for the future. And her dream is actually currently becoming a reality with the launch of the Safe Haven Shelter Project. I love being part of this group of women. It's an amazing group of sisters, all ages. And even though I no longer live on the Gold Coast, I am in very cold Melbourne, I sometimes miss being part of that group. I'm supposed to call into meetings because I'm still part of the committee, and Friday night I forgot because I was busy with my sermon. But anyway, they forgive me, they love me, but I love being part of this group of women, because they are making a difference. It's not on the billboards and telling everyone what we're doing, but just in their quiet way, we are making a difference in our community. These amazing women have inspired me so much over the last few years to consciously look outward rather than inward. You know, being a woman of legacy starts with us, Pneuma East women. May we be women of legacy who change our society. May we be women of legacy who rewrites history. It's not impossible. May we be women of legacy who stand for what is godly. Fear God and not man. And it all starts with loving like Jesus, making prayer a priority like Jesus did, revealing the heart of the Father through our testimonies of his goodness like Jesus did, and with valuing the word of God because that's who Jesus is. So let's take hands, encourage each other, and champion each other on our walk with God. May we each leave a legacy that sets a solid foundation to build upon for and is talked about for the generations and generations and generations to come. I'd love it if every woman in this building, even the little ones, stand with me as I pray for us.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.